Welcome to another episode of the Official Catch-Up Podcast. It's me, Ben, back with another episode, and I'm joined by Chris. Obviously, a lot to talk about with different things happening within the Lowland League and non-league football in general. So, firstly, let's just set the scene and what the plan is for this episode today, Chris.
Yeah, so basically we have Thomas Brown on, obviously the chairperson of the Lowland League, and we're obviously here to have a discussion on pretty much the recent developments of everything in terms of the increased promotion vote and obviously the vote to extend guest clubs for another season. And we're obviously thankful that he's came on, as you know, not everyone would do that. As we've said before, they don't have to explain themselves to us, but hopefully we can have a sort of decent discussion surrounding, maybe get a bit of feedback and sort of the thinking behind certain things. But yeah, I appreciate Thomas coming on.
Obviously, it's a very emotive subject, shall we say, for people in non-league. Obviously, I have a horse in the race in that I'm involved in a club in Tier 6, obviously Colin Rangers, so very conscious of my views are probably quite skewed towards what's good for Tier 6 at this point. But Chris, what's your kind of gut feeling so far on the information that you do have?
Well, obviously, I disagree with, I think we've made it pretty clear over our last sort of couple of statements, we disagree with certain things that, especially the votes with the, you know, that have happened from the member clubs. Not all on Thomas, I think it's fair to say. Obviously, the clubs have their own sort of individual feelings on it, so we appreciate that. You can't obviously talk for the entire league, basically, but I would like to see some clarification on certain things. Certainly there has been a lot of questions, particularly from I guess what we would say your tier, Ben, in terms of tier 6. There's a lot of concern, obviously, of I hate using these words, but obviously ambitious clubs and integrity, sporting integrity and all this sort of stuff. I think it's the same sort of buzzwords that come up when we're discussing Scottish football, but yes, hopefully we're not boring anyone by repeating these words and phrases that are always sort of, yeah, they're always applied to these sort of discussions, aren't they?
Yeah, well, we'll just bring Thomas in, but just firstly, shout out to our sponsors, the Soccer Shop Direct. Check them out on Twitter at Soccer Shop D, or check out the website, www.soccershopdirect.com, for all your football equipment and team wear needs. So yeah, we'll bring Thomas in. Thomas is the chairperson, am I right, Thomas, of the Lone League?
Yeah, that's correct.
Firstly, thanks for coming on. Mm-hmm. I think we're just going to go run through some questions and maybe get your side of the story from a league's perspective. Obviously, we have our views individually, but I think the first thing for me is I would like to know more about maybe the timeline of how this has came about. I think we've obviously 12 months ago we were talking about this as a kind of like a trial, a pilot, perhaps maybe call it that. What's happened in the last 12 months to get to this point where we've had the vote?
Okay, well, I guess obviously we've had guest clubs in the league for 9 months now, kind of roughly. And as you say, this was kind of billed as a pilot project. It was made clear to the board about three weeks ago, the start of March, rather, that the current guest clubs wished to stay within the league to compete for another season. So the board discussed it at our board meeting in March. We discussed the request from the guest clubs. And 2 weeks after that, we had an already planned general meeting with all the clubs. So we asked the guest clubs to do their presentation to the clubs with a view to giving clubs the information from guest clubs and to take another vote on it 2 weeks later. So obviously the vote took place on Monday night. And as everybody knows, the result was 11-4 in favour. So that's a timeline of how things came about. Obviously, as you rightly called it a pilot, I guess with any pilot, it doesn't have to be continued. It could be continued. The request came in, and the board facilitated an option for clubs to discuss it and take a vote on it.
I think for me, Thomas, one of the things is obviously for most of the season, certainly, I've been hearing that it's a one-season deal. I think with a lot of other people, you know, it's kind of like a got you moment because it's not for one season, especially with us, as you can probably appreciate. But for the longest time, it seems like maybe until, you know, the last sort of 3 weeks, as you mentioned, it was only going to be for one season. Kind of what sort of changed the mentality? Is there Has there been, I mean, what sort of details can you tell us at this moment? What has sort of changed, or what has put this vote over the line for the Lone League clubs to vote in a majority of 11-4?
Okay, I guess, as I say, the timeline was that the board, there was no approach from either guest club to the board until the very beginning of March. Sorry, probably the end of February, the last week in February, and it was considered at the board meeting in March. Until that point, there had been no approach about continuing this whatsoever. So it was that's when the board were first alerted to this. Clubs have obviously voted. Clubs have obviously seen clubs given a presentation 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks past Monday, from the current guest clubs, an opportunity to ask all the questions they wish to ask, make all the points, positive and negative, and indifferent points. And clubs were then given 2 weeks to consider it as clubs with their own boards to make their vote. I can't be specific on why clubs voted to continue. That's because obviously every club would have a different view on it. I think most clubs would probably see that there has been benefit financially to them. There is early evidence that it's been beneficial to the Colts players that have taken part in the season so far. And that was all evidenced as part of the presentation. So I can only imagine that given all that positive feedback and stuff that was in the presentation, that's why clubs have voted for it.
So just on that, obviously, you mentioned sort of financial benefits. We often, or certainly in the last sort of few statements, even before your time as chairperson, a lot of it's kind of spouted as the progression of youth football into like the national team and whatnot. Is it fair to say this is all about sort of financial benefit? And one of the main reasons it's been extended for a further season?
I don't think so. I think people who were at the meeting were open-minded to hear what had to be said. There was part of the presentation, there was inputs in the presentation from a few people, including people who are not connected with the current guest clubs, who expressed why this is benefiting Scottish football, including coaches who take teams within a Scottish setup. So that combined with in terms of the financial side of it, this season, our analysis so far indicates that over £135,000 of money has come into the league, either into the league or into the league members, made up of entry fees from the guest clubs, sponsorship arrangements, and increased gate monies when guest clubs play teams away.
Let's just see on that point then about the increased revenue. What the league doing with that money? What they doing to progress the league? But what's that money being used for to provide benefit to the clubs?
Yeah, so the league received £50,000 from guest clubs taking part this season. Obviously, the additional revenue of that around gate fees, that's what the clubs have. You know, the board don't have that. So £50,000 from entry fees, and an additional sum of money for sponsorship, which has come in as well. So out of the £50,000, the league paid all members' league's insurances and membership fees for this season, and will do the same for next season. So that equates to around £33,000 to £34,000 off the £50,000. They took the decision that we should put some money into the reserve pot to ensure that we have 2 years running costs to put the league on a stable financial footing for if the worst case scenario happens, we had 2 years running costs, so that clubs wouldn't have any financial burden on them if anything happened over the next 2 years. And we have commissioned, I think you've mentioned it in your last podcast, an improvement in our social media output. All that costs money, so there's money going into that and money going into PR consultancy to assist the board.
I think it's important at this stage to maybe define the term guest clubs, because obviously there's been we know about Rangers and Celtic, but there's been sort of rumours about Hearts and Hibs, who are obviously at the moment members of the East of Scotland. So I think it would probably be more, you know, I think they'd probably slide into the East of Scotland more than they would the Lone League. But a lot of people are obviously asking, would the term guest clubs apply to Tier 6? Could we have, hate to pick on them, but I always do, Darvel, for example, if they offered the same terms, could they basically, you know, for lack of a better term, jump the queue?
Okay, so in terms of guest club, how you specify a guest club is they're a non-full member of the league, so they can't take part in the League Cup, they can't get promoted or relegated from the league. And at the end of the season, when the league table's finalised, they're removed from the league table, so they don't feature in the end of the season league table. Guest clubs will have to meet a criteria, which will include various things which is being worked up just now, and clubs who meet that criteria will be more than happy to discuss with them in any club. But as I said, there will be a criteria which is set by the board, and that should be that's been worked up just now.
In terms of then the potential for, I think, discussions with other clubs, we obviously spoke to George before he departed his position as chairman. Something that was mentioned was about talking to the other tiers, mainly the West of Scotland, East of Scotland, and the South of Scotland. Did you guys not feel that it was something worth doing and having a conversation around the whole pyramid rather than just kind of going and having your vote yourself?
Okay, well, there is a pyramid working group which is organised by the SFA to oversee the development of the pyramid. Away from that, we have a four leagues meeting that meets quarterly, roughly, and we have meetings with the Highland League. So when the approach came from the current guest clubs, we informed the SFA president, who chairs the Pyramid Working Group, that this approach had been made, and that we were going to go through a open, fair and democratic process so that they were aware of it. We discussed it with the tier six leagues at the last meeting we had with them, last week, the week before. But it was on the agenda then, and we obviously said that there was a process ongoing and the result would be known on Monday night. And we, in our latest meeting with the Highland League, which was about 3 weeks ago, we informed them that there had been a request from the current guest clubs. So we have discussed it with the... We didn't seek their opinions or views, because ultimately it's a matter for the league, but there was discussions with the leagues to below us and above us and at the side of us, so that everybody was aware that this was happening and aware of the process. We also gave a commitment to the Tier 6 leagues that after each vote, including the one about relegation, that we would write to them privately before we went public with anything. And we did that on both occasions. Before anything was said publicly, all these leagues were written to by the league to confirm the position, because we believe that was the right thing to do. And I think that shows that our league will act with integrity around these matters.
Given that this is now a sort of multi-season thing with guest clubs, initially obviously there was a lot of sort of backlash, if you will, with the inclusion of obviously Rangers and Celtic in the league this season. But is it fair and reasonable to say that, you know, that we're basically, because it's multiple seasons, parachuting them into the pyramid for a fee?
I think this has been spoken about, you know, various different ways of parachuting, jumping the queue and stuff. I mean, I suppose that they've come in to play at a level where they can compete, they can get competitive football, regular weekly competitive football. Now, I'm not saying they can't get that in the leagues below. And I think it's a case of where do they start? You know, if there is guest clubs or coach teams in the pyramid, where do they start? I think it's in terms of them being parachuted in, I mean, that technically they're playing as non-full member clubs, so their involvement doesn't stop any team being promoted out of the Lowland League or relegated from the Lowland League. So, I mean, I think, where would you suggest they start then?
Well, it's a difficult one, obviously, but a lot of people are obviously saying, they don't have any objection, but start at the bottom of the pyramid, start at tier 7. If they want to be a part of the pyramid, I think most people say start at the tier 7, like every other club that has to apply to the West of Scotland or East of Scotland. They obviously start at the bottom rather than sort of tier 5. I mean, I think fundamentally, I think we our views. One season didn't really affect anything in terms of the pyramid, because there was no tier 6 champion. But now that it does, it kind of, the feeling certainly for a lot of people, and including ourselves, is that they are now jumping the queue, potentially taking, opportunities away from along with what we'll get into the increased promotion vote. But they are potentially taking opportunities away from tier 6 clubs, and I think that's fundamentally why people have an issue of it being multiple seasons.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, where there's a feeling that that's the case. But I think the reality is that the guest club involvement does not stop any club coming up to the Lowland League, because the Lowland League is a 16-team full member league. We can go to 18 teams on a temporary basis, and we must return back to a 16 league full member league, which is what we are just now. So there is no scope to increase the size of the Lowland League to full members. So there would be no scope to have any more promotion coming into the Lowland League because we'd have to stay at 16.
So basically what we're saying is there was no scope to have the East of Scotland, West of Scotland and South of Scotland champion had this vote been, you know, not went through basically, it would have had to go back to 16 rather than stay at 18.
Yeah, we can only go to, the league says, the rules state we can go to, it's a 16 team league, we can go to 18 on a temporary basis and back to 16. So in terms of the increase, I mean, I've seen lots of stuff on Twitter saying we shouldn't have guest clubs and bring in the champions of the three leagues below at the end of the season. Now, that couldn't happen because the rules around promotion to the Lowland League are already in place, were in place at the start of the season. So they could not be changed at this stage. So there is no opportunity for the Lowland League to bring in champion clubs. If the Lowland League managed to go to an 18-team league next season, there is no guarantee that the champion clubs of all these leagues below would be the ones coming in because we could only fill the league with one champion club. And in the rural state, it's an application process thereafter.
So where's the part there about the 16 teams to 18 teams? Where's that rule set? Is that a Lowland League rule?
It's in the Lowland League rules, yeah. It's in the Lowland League rules where it says it's a 16-team league and it can temporarily go to 18 at the discretion of the board.
So basically then, there could be a rule change to have an increased league of full members, would that be fair?
There could be a rule change. However, I think my understanding is that it's been kind of widely known that the SFA's desire is for leagues to be at 16 as a maximum. I think that's what we're seeing in the East and the West at the end of this season or the season after, that it'll be 16-team leagues. And we're no different. We're exactly the same position as them.
So I guess there could be a conversation certainly to be had with the SFA around the pyramid, and obviously we're going to touch on the promotion relegation of... We've talked about that last week on the podcast, and you've made your feelings known, and we've made our feelings known about that. So, I think the thing then, there could be that conversation with the SFA via potentially the working group, perhaps, to expand that across the board.
Last week, the Lowland League wrote to the SFA last week requesting that a pyramid working group is re-established sooner rather than later to take forward these types of discussions, include the SPFL in these discussions. We wrote to the SFA last week for that. And I've had a commitment from the SFA that they'll do that, and we have an understanding the SPFL are happy to be part of it.
Not to sound a bit smart about it, but as you know, the name Pyramid Working Group, I mean, many see it as a pyramid that's not working because there's not automatic promotion. So, I mean, we'll obviously get into the idea or the vote with the increased promotion and relegation. But yeah, just, you know, not to be smart about it, but yeah, just an irony to the name there, Thomas, in my view.
Yeah, so, you know, it's called a pyramid working group because I think it was initially set up as an advisory body to the SFA president, and that's what they called it. And I think it's clear that we need to have more discussion about how the pyramid works, and we're keen to be part of that. And you know, we've I think the only league that have requested that a pyramid working group is established since last week.
That's good to know. It's good to know, Thomas, because I think there has been, I guess, you know, not to criticise yourself entirely, because I think it's maybe clear that there probably might have not been an increased promotion vote had you not been sort of chair of the Lowland League. I think we have to give you credit for that. Am I right in saying that, Thomas?
In terms of that, the vote that happened 2 weeks ago about increased relegation was driven by the board. The board's league, the league development committee had met and discussed that a few months back. It came to the board and we agreed that we need to have these discussions and put these things to the clubs, to the member clubs. If it was a board decision, I'm pretty sure we would have had more relegation through, but it's not a board decision. It's a club decision. One thing I am surprised about, it was given that the last time this was voted on, I think it was like 12 clubs to 4 against, that it was 9-7. So there has been progress. Clubs are willing to consider this and look at it seriously. And I think we've got some work to do, and that's what the Lowland League board will do in the next season, over the next course of the next year, to hopefully be able to put something in place for the start of the season after.
What are the kind of general feeling on the clubs who have basically voted no against the further relegation and promotion? what's their reasons? Have they got any particular reason why they don't want it? Is it to protect themselves? Is there something else behind it, do you think? Or do you know?
I think it's be a combination. I'm sure it'll be a lot of it about self-preservation, which is, I think I said the last time I was on the podcast, you know, about turkeys voting for Christmas. And I think we need to try and get away from that. People have made it clear that, you know, we need to be opening up at the top before we open up at the bottom. I think it is worth pointing out the Lowland League is the only league that has automatic relegation from it. The Highland League don't have automatic relegation, neither do SPFL. So Tier 6 leagues, the East, West and South, have a better chance of getting into the Lowland League than they have than their colleagues in the northern part of the country. So we do have that and something we'll continue to maintain. I think clubs want to see change, and they want to see change at the top at the same time as at the bottom.
I was just going to say, I think the main difference for a lot of people is the fact that we have a bigger league in terms of, you know, 16 teams compared to maybe 10 in League 2. I mean, if you've got a 16-team league, surely, you know, you would at least think automatic 2 relegations rather than 1. Just obviously from my own point of view, I think it sounds more reasonable than just having 1 automatic.
Personally, I think we should have 1 automatic relegation spot and 1 playoff spot. That's my view on it, as a personal opinion. All clubs were given the option to vote about automatic, increased relegation, and there was various options. If clubs voted for that, there was then various options to look at, which included 3 up, 3 down, which included a champion club go up and the second place playoff club going to a playoff against team 15. There's a status quo option and automatic 2 up. So all these options were given to clubs a week to 10 days before they had to vote on it, and you had an opportunity to look at the documents and come back with questions and then have the vote. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, the Lowland League will continue to push for that. The board and the Lowland League are certainly will continue to push for that to try and come to a conclusion where it suits everybody.
Just before I forget, because we've got a lot to get through still, Thomas, but I think this is attributed to yourself when you were at Civil, but the idea of Lowland League 2 in terms of maybe increasing relegation and promotion, if we added a Lowland League 2 at maybe Tier 6 or, you know, is that something that's been discussed? I don't actually know where that came from, but I think originally it's been attributed to yourself when you were at Strollers.
Yeah, Lowland League 2 was something I had suggested some time ago. That's when there was currently, at that point, there was nothing in the West. There was no Tier 6 league in the West. There is now a Tier 6 league in the West, so I guess at this stage we don't see there being a need for a Lowland League 2 because we have functioning leagues below us to feed in. I couldn't say for sure, but I understand that the East, West and South don't want a Lowland League 2, is my understanding. I'm pretty sure they wrote to the Lowland League some time ago to say that was their position. So that there's been no further discussion with Lowland League 2 at this stage.
I think it's a fair argument. I don't think teams would want to lose, obviously, leagues would want to lose their sort of top teams, if you will. But yeah, I thought, you know, it's an interesting idea, obviously, if we were increasing promotion and relegation, but obviously adding another tier would probably be a wee bit problematic for the East of Scotland and the West of Scotland and the South of Scotland. So, yeah, I couldn't remember where that came from, but I just seem to remember from years ago, I think it was attributed to yourself, so I just wanted to sort of get a wee bit of an explanation on that.
That's fine, yeah.
Do you think it would be worth bringing all the different leagues below into one organisation, kind of non-league, Lowland League type organisation, rather than having all these different kind of regionalised variants?
That's a very good question. Something we'd be happy to take part in discussions about. I think it's probably difficult because the bigger the organisation is, the more difficult it is to manage. I mean, we see that with the Development League, for instance. We 60-odd teams Development League, and it just causes problems trying to manage that. But certainly worth considering. But it's a case of how that would happen, because obviously we've got within the pyramid this level, we've got the Lowland and Highland League who sit in the professional game board and the other leagues who sit in the non-professional game board. So I think it wouldn't be straightforward, but certainly no reason why it couldn't be looked at.
maybe one way to do it. I mean, you can maybe, as I say, I don't know the logistics of how voting and things like that would work, but I think having more voices across the board from the tier five down to tier, probably what is it, tier 9 or 10, come once the West kind of level out their conferences this year, would make a lot of sense. You've got, there's a lot of good people involved in those leagues that can, I think, add a lot of value to non-league as a whole, and I think it'd be better going all in the one direction rather than, as you say, having people doing different things the way it currently is, because I think you see a bit of a variety across the board, and certainly if we want to have those discussions, surely that'd be an easier way to facilitate things like the promotion relegation and such like, if we have the one big organisation perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've not kind of touched on promotion relegation, but just to give a flavour of that, the last Pyramid Working Group meeting we put forward, as in we, the Lowland League, put forward a proposal that we have a discussion about automatic relegation and promotion across the whole pyramid, and underpinning that is that champion clubs are automatically promoted. And that was kind of well received with people who were on that call, and that's why we will continue to push for that, and we have pushed for that, and hopefully another Pyramid Working Group will be set up very soon to continue these discussions.
Just to get sort of back on to the extension of obviously guest clubs, you mentioned earlier that, you know, there's pretty much no effect in terms of promotion and relegation, but is that not a wee bit untrue? Considering Rangers and Celtic, there was times this season where they played weakened teams, and certainly I think some clubs got a bit of an easier fixture than others. Would that certainly not affect the competitive results by the way of obviously playing weaker teams? And is there any guarantee that that won't happen if, say, a guest club was in the guest clubs were in the league for next season?
Yeah, that's something that we've learnt this season, and for next season, there will be a rule introduced to ensure that any guest clubs continue to play a consistent team across the season, and that will include either not having games when there's international weeks, or if they have more than 3 players called up for international duty, that they can request a postponement, which is what the current rule is within the SPFL, I believe. So, yeah, that is something that definitely has been taken on board by the clubs and by the board, and we've already considered that and just discussed that there will need to be a rule change to ensure that happens, so that next season, if there is guest clubs or whatever the guest clubs are, they can play a regular squad week in, week out.
I can see a lot of discussion probably from my fans' perspective that the Rangers and Celtic are doing this purely for their own benefit. Do you see anything from them that shows they're trying to support the growth in the game as a whole, not just for their own players and their own kind of maybe brand, for example? Is what are they doing to try and support perhaps you as a board or a league to try and grow the game right down the levels?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, obviously it's an interesting one when you have probably two of the biggest teams in Scotland as part of your league. You know, I mean, in terms of what they've done for the league, you know, I mean, they've kind of continued to support the league in various aspects, including the sponsor. Without a doubt, the sponsor was introduced by one of the guest clubs, and that's been very good for the league going forward. In terms of developing players and stuff, I mean, obviously they're there to pretty much look after their squad, and I think the Lowland League clubs' squads have benefited from playing against some of the most elite talent that the country has.
It's just on the sort of title sponsor, it's obviously not went unnoticed on social media that the sort of title sponsor people were basically making the argument for the inclusion of guest clubs. Was that deal dependent on the guest clubs coming back into the league for a further season?
Yeah, the deal was done last month before. So that was done sometime before guest clubs had even expressed an interest of coming in to the league.
So no conclusions can basically be just putting out the conspiracy theories there. Yeah, Thomas, obviously,
the discussion with the sponsor had been ongoing since December, and we planned to launch in January, but we were late getting launched. So there's no way. That conspiracy can hopefully come to an end.
Just going back to the point about kind of Rangers and Celtic giving support to league. You mentioned there a couple of things about kind of more like football and kind of positives, if you like. I mean, obviously you mentioned the sponsor, which is great, but are they actually, is there any way they can support? I'm thinking along the lines of like trying to like grow the brand or put people in. Like you mentioned, you were spending money on social media, for example. These organisations have big departments that they can do that and do it really well, from what I see. Is there nothing like that? I mean, more kind of off the field kind of support and maybe trying to grow things commercially. We mentioned before, I think, around about TV potential offers and things like that. Anything like that they're trying to make improve the league that way?
Yeah, well, I guess that there's nothing. I mean, at the start of this, there was nothing that was going to happen. You know, there was no suggestion that would happen. They committed to finding a sponsor, which they've done. In terms of growing the brand, our own analysis of our social media output, for instance, shows that since the inclusion of guest clubs, we've seen a huge increase in our social media in terms of views, hits, impressions, and engagements. Now, that can be solely down to just guest clubs, because we've spent money in this since January. We've spent money and put a lot of time into improving that. So that side of the kind of the organisation has grown. Our organisation has grown, but certainly there's nothing in agreements that says that they need to commit to any of that stuff.
Nah, I'm not meaning from an agreement perspective, but I'm meaning from like a offering to help and support. We as in the Lowland League and below are doing them a favour by letting them play the competitive football that you mentioned. But for me, I would like to have seen more from them supporting the league to try and to grow the game, because then it shows that they have an interest in supporting everyone. Whereas I think the perception, personally, what I'm reading on social media, and we'll come in a wee second, is that people believe it's just purely for Rangers and Celtic's benefit, and they're not doing it to try and help the greater good, if you like.
And I think it's some. And I've been involved with both these clubs at my club, and I've had involvement with them in my position as chairperson of the league, and certainly I could say that both clubs are very helpful, and I'm sure we'd be open to any requests from clubs if they can assist. They would.
With you've obviously talked about engagement and things like that, but is it fair to say that a lot of that engagement has been negative rather than positive? I mean, given, you know, we'll probably go more into the sort of negative aspects, Thomas, as we're finishing up, but certainly just by the vote on Monday, there's obviously been a lot of concern and negativity towards the league, and we'll obviously get more into that a wee bit later. But are you kind of, obviously you must be aware of certain things that have been said regarding the Lowland League and whatnot?
Yeah, I guess we are. You know, I mean, obviously everybody likes to have their say, and especially nowadays on social media and stuff. I guess from a league perspective, though, the most important thing for us is the clubs, and you know, it's ultimately a decision by clubs to go down this route, and everybody will have their say on it, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think that's currently just an issue with society, that everybody wants to go to social media to kind of say their piece, and that's fine. That's just not about football, that's about everything, I think. But I think that, you know, away from that, there's lots of positive feedback that we've had privately from clubs, from spectators who feel they can't go on social media to say how they feel for just being piled on. And I think we've seen that a few weeks ago when the East Kilbride manager spoke about this topic. He was just a pile on social media for him. So I think it would be great if in a society if we could change that kind of approach and allow people to say their piece without fear of being piled on. But that's not what happens, unfortunately. So although there's negative stuff on Twitter and Pye and Bovril and Facebook and stuff, there's lots of positives as well.
Certainly, I said it obviously yesterday in our sort of wee statement about it, but it's not easy for us to criticise the league having promoted it in the last sort of 4 years or whatever, how long it's been. And obviously, you know, I've said to you privately, nothing was ever against yourself. We obviously know how the work you put in for the league and Gala as well. But yeah, there's just obviously fundamental differences in principles. Obviously, one of the things you obviously talked about spectators there, but I mean, realistically, Bonnyrigg and East Stirlingshire consulted their fans before the vote, and you know, the fans for Bonnyrigg, at least 90% of people against this idea. So have the fans really had a say out with those two clubs?
I guess that's a matter for clubs to say how they deal with these things. I guess some clubs go to take fan opinion. Some clubs have decided their board will do it. And I guess, you know, fan involvement is important. But people who run clubs know what works for their clubs, I think, and that's why, you know, clubs, I'm pretty sure, have seen that the benefits away, you know, without asking their fans. Maybe clubs didn't feel needed to ask their fans. You know, when do you stop asking fans, you know, their opinion on things? And what decisions do you ask fans and what decisions do you not ask fans? So I guess there's a whole lot of things for clubs to weigh up, and clubs have decided, some clubs done it and some clubs didn't.
Sort of one question before we move on to obviously the promotion relegation vote, but there's a bit of a concern obviously from the start of the season, but will there be any issues with the SFA / SPFL of having guest clubs signed off again, like we saw at the start of the season? And is Bonnie Riggs right to play in the playoff been confirmed 100%? There's no worries there?
Okay, well, the first one about guest clubs for next season, obviously the Lowland rule states that guest clubs are for 1 year, so that would require the SFA's approval to continue that for a further year. We've had discussions with the SFA at the start to tell them that this process was happening, and we will put a proposal forward to the next professional game board to seek approval in principle to continue with guest clubs next season. So we should know later this month if that's approved by the PGB or not, and that allows us to then put the formal rule changes in place.
But you don't anticipate any issues like we had sort of at the start of the season and with anything to do with Bonnie Riggs' promotion or that?
The second point on Bonnie Riggs, Bonnie Riggs will go through to the playoff and compete against the Highland League. Then if they win, they'll compete against Club 42. The rules are written in a way that everybody within the SPFL and SFA are satisfied with the rules. And as far as we understand, that there is no prospect of the SFA, SPFL challenging this as Bonnie Riggs move through the playoffs.
Just on the SFA and the rules, and last time we spoke was around the kind of the boundary thing that appeared. Has that all been cleared up and ratified?
Yeah, all been cleared up and ratified. All SPFL 2 clubs nominated their league to be relegated to, and it's pretty much status quo. The teams that were north of what was the boundary opted to go to the Highland League, and the teams that were south of that boundary opted to come to the Lowland League. So the removal of the boundary won't cause any issues, because Forfar and Elgin have both said if they relegated, they'd go to the Highland League. And everybody else who was south of that boundary has come to the Lowland League.
Cool. So I guess then the next topic is the promotion and relegation that vote you had 2 weeks ago now, wasn't it? Where you put the proposal forward to the member clubs to decide on whether or not you'd have an option to have further promotion and increased relegation from tier five to tier six.
Yeah.
So how did that vote go again? Just for is there a figure like
nine clubs opted for the status quo and seven clubs opted for change.
So no abstentions. I think we had a couple abstentions in the last vote for the
One abstention last night. Yeah.
So just basically on that vote, is it fair to say that top Lowland League clubs now have an easier route without having to potentially play sort of the best or the top tier six clubs that possibly would have been in the league through merit if there had been more opportunities in further seasons?
I think it's unfair to say that they've got an easier route. I mean, they've still got to compete in the Lowland League and then win the playoff against the Highland League, which is not an easy task, and then win the playoff against the SPFL Club 42. Obviously, only one team can come into the Lowland League, so I think it's probably not a fair question to say, you know, the top half a dozen of these clubs, because they're not all there and they'll not all be there straight away. But I think whoever comes into the Lowland League and whoever's at the top of the Lowland League, whether they're this season's champion, Bonnie Riggs will have a hard task against the Highland League and Club 42. And I think any other club that comes in will have a hard task playing against the top 5-6 in the Lowland League.
Yeah, so basically, just in terms of going back to the feeling in tier six, you know, for most clubs, SFA licensing costs, you know, up to a six figure sum, you know, for clubs to spend a fortune to get their grounds and facilities up to scratch, is it fair to have only a 1 in 3 chance of promotion if clubs are pretty much paying essentially more than the Colts to get into the league?
Yeah, I mean, I guess two things on that. I guess that we want to see more relegation, more ventilation across the whole pyramid, top and bottom of the lower league. And as I said earlier on, if that had been a board decision, it would have been put in place. But it wasn't. I think the 1-3, you know, it's not ideal. It is what it is. And we have to accept the democratic vote that the clubs took 2 weeks ago. And I think in terms of the six-figure sums, you know, Lowland League clubs continue to pay money out for their grounds as well, and obviously had to do work to get licensed when they joined or when they went into the league. So I think it's only fair to recognise that the Lowland League clubs have done that as well. You know, it's not just a tier six and have done it. The Lowland League clubs have had to do that previously. And I think 1-3 is not ideal, but it's currently where we are just now. And we need to work together to try and get change.
Is there not a bit of kind of short-sightedness maybe from some of the clubs that have voted, though? Because they could be in a position where they're in the bottom and they're having a terrible season. They're going to get relegated. If you've only got one position to go down and one to come up, they could potentially get lost within that whole kind of tier six, tier seven level. Whereas if you've got that kind of multiple promotion spots, it gives them a greater chance to bounce back, and but obviously the argument is there for getting more teams into league SPFL League Two, and that's probably one thing we want to see is, but obviously from our perspective, is at both ends. So do the leagues not see that, the clubs at the bottom, sorry, that they've voted no, not see that kind of that view at all?
Well, I guess it's unfair to say the clubs at the bottom voted no, because I don't think anybody knows how clubs voted for that.
I'm surmising that probably.
Yeah, I think the principle, you're right. You know, I mean, if you've got more chances of coming up, then you need to open up at the bottom. Otherwise, if you go down, you're going to be part of a 16-team league fighting for one place with another two leagues. So yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think that, and I think you know that makes sense what you've said. Whether clubs appreciate that or not, or I don't know, because I'm only involved at one club.
So from your club's perspective, then what's the kind of your view towards that? Is it definitely want to get promoted, or your clubs? Honestly, I don't know how you guys voted, so we came to see what your view was.
So what was that, sorry?
Just to see your kind of view on it from your club's perspective, just from a rather than your league high, your kind of club's perspective.
Yeah, our perspective is that there needs to be more ventilation across the whole system. And we need to be working all together. And when I say all together, I mean, there's the Lowland League, the East, West, South, the North Cali Leagues, and the Highland League, including with the SPFL, need to be working together to achieve that and make it happen. And hopefully that's what we will do, and hopefully we'll get some kind of agreement in place with a timeline for that to happen in the coming months, and hopefully before the end of next season, certainly.
The other thing that stands out for me in a lot of these situations is a lot of the teams that are in the tier six, I think I look at it from obviously from a West perspective. I'm heavily involved, a team in the West Prem. So I see your Auchinlecks, your Pollocks, Colwynn, Avermeadow, Talbot. So Talbot and Auchinleck are the same team. Darvel, Hurlford, Clydebank, all there. Good sides with good supports behind them. And I think for me, we offer a better, I'd say probably a better experience and a better, make a better league for the Lowland League. And I think that's the thing that disappoints me more, is that the leagues aren't seeing that, and maybe looking at the Rangers and Celtic thing is like, oh, that's the cash grab, if you like, because I get a few extra quid. But maybe actually, in actual fact, if you were to bring in an Auchinleck or a Pollock, for example, who have predominantly good supports and will travel and things like that, it actually would be a better thing for the league as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think one thing that I've seen a lot of stuff on social media and kind of commentators talking about is, I think people are conflating guest clubs and promotion relegation where they're not connected at all in any way, shape or form. So it's not a case of it's this or that. These things were presented to clubs separately, not as kind of any as an alternative to each other or as a package with each other. But I think you're right. I think there'll be clubs in the East Premier Division that will come up, which will improve the Lowland League and clubs in the West. And there's no doubt about that. The problem is that we're all currently facing is that there is it's a slow road to get there, and I think that's I can understand their frustrations around that. And I think the only other thing I would say on that is that getting into the lower league, is it going to solve the problem? Because if they want to go up, then they're just hit. It's the same problem further up. In fact, it's worse because there's no guarantee they're going to go up even if they win the playoff. So that's, as I say several times, that's why we need to work together to go for change.
Yeah, I think you have to lead by example if you want to be fighting for that at the top, and your bottom has to look very similar. I think that's a fair shout. I think the other thing, I think what I was going to say, yeah, if I go back to the point about the kind of things not being, the two votes not being connected, is that maybe a mistake? Do you maybe have done it differently and had them kind of, well, if you vote for this, we should talk about this sort of thing? Would that not be a better way to maybe work to get that through? Because I know obviously you were saying you brought up as a, from a board's perspective to the clubs, would that maybe not have been a better way to work?
No, I think it, because they're not connected, we couldn't possibly put them together to say it's, these are a package or they're combined. I think that would be unfair and it wouldn't be the right thing to do. I think that's why we put it to the clubs separately. And the thing about relegation, I think, was the most important thing for us, and that's why that was the first one. And that's what, you know, we had been driving for a few months before we got to the vote.
I think you touched on it a wee bit earlier, but obviously you said that you want sort of ventilation throughout the pyramid. But has the recent two votes not really destroyed the argument or pushed the credibility to request increased promotion places in the SPFL, considering we ourselves have not voted for increased opportunities?
Yeah, I don't think it has. I think everybody in the pyramid realises that, you know, everybody is a member of the organisation, votes for what's right for them. And I think everybody in the pyramid, SPFL, I can't speak for them, certainly the Lowland League, our clubs vote for what's right for them. And I'm pretty sure the Eastern clubs and West clubs and the South clubs vote what's right for them. And that's why I think collectively we need to come together to put something in place across the whole pyramid at the same time. And every league signs up to that is the way forward.
Will there be any vote in the future concerning pretty much the same thing in terms of increased promotion and relegation? Is there other opportunities in the future for this to come up again?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, obviously our position is that if we can get the Pyramid Working Group to get something start going about a uniformed approach, that's something that will come back to our clubs. And so that's why, again, you know, the quicker we can get that done, then the quicker we can get back to our clubs and get something voted in.
And just to end, Thomas, unless Ben has something further, but are you or the board personally concerned about the perceived reputational damage the votes have caused? And you obviously mentioned obviously trying to discuss throughout the pyramid in terms of maybe tier six. You know, how has this all affected your relationship with other leagues? Assuming the relationship's not that great at the moment, considering how the votes have went.
Well, we met with the Tier 6 leagues just last week, and I wrote to them last night after the vote to inform them how the vote went. We still work with them and still continue to be willing to work with them, hoping to work with them. And, you know, in terms of reputational damage, you know, I mean, I think what generally happens with these things, a lot of noise on Twitter about it. But I think, apart from that, you know, I mean, you know, look at the vote last week. You know, there was some noise on Twitter about the relegation thing, and after a day or so, it moves on to something else. You know, it's now moved on to guest clubs in or not, and who knows what it will be next. But I think one thing's for sure is I think the pyramid in Scotland's thriving. I think it's good. It's good quality football. And looking at an interview today, some quotes today in daily papers from the SPFL chief exec, he's of the same opinion that the pyramid's going well in Scotland. And I think, you know, we have to recognise that, and we should probably appreciate that at times that it does go well, and maybe focus less on or more on the positives than we actually do.
I haven't seen that article that you mentioned there, but I find that strange that the chief executive of the SPFL is saying that the pyramid's working well when we still only have that one spot. That seems like a strange comment to be made, but I'll go and have a look at that. But just from a point of order, it just seems like an odd take to have. And I know Mr. Doncaster doesn't exactly have his many fans around the world, but it seems a strange take for me.
I think that's why, you know, across society we need to kind of be more positive about things, and you know, there's lots of negative stuff going on in the world, you know, and I think we need to try and find the positives in more things and celebrate when we do have successes. And I think that, you know, the pyramid is, you know, whether you've got one up or two up, I think the pyramid's strong. It's continuing to grow and develop over the coming years.
I think there's always going to be certain things that I'll disagree with the league. Not necessarily yourself, Thomas, by the sounds of things from what you've said today. I think we are off of similar opinion when it comes to certain things. But yeah, I just want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, as I said at the beginning, not a lot of people would in your sort of situation, but I appreciate the explanations and whatnot. And hopefully, I don't know if this is going to change any opinions or views or perhaps maybe not on yourself, but certainly the Lowland League. There's certain things that I don't think my opinions really changed, but I appreciate that you've came on, and I appreciate the fact that you can't answer all the questions in terms of maybe the individual clubs or how they voted. I think we've mentioned transparency before, that another buzzword, I guess. I'd personally like to see more from the league and the clubs in terms of what comes out and what's been said and how things have gone. Obviously, you're not the entire, you know, it's not your entire responsibility for what the clubs do, but I personally would like to see that. And albeit if it's negative, at least if they put out reasoning, I think there's probably less chance of the negativity going about if they have sort of valid points. Like, if you say it's all, like, obviously I'm maybe exaggerating here, but if it's all about the money, just say it's all about the money. You know, that's generally what my feeling is on it. And obviously there's other factors in terms of why clubs have voted, but certainly from my perspective, I've always appreciated that openness more. I might disagree, but I always appreciate that openness more to say, like, we voted this because it benefits us, really.
Yeah, I understand that point, but I think the point we did earlier on about clubs coming out and saying stuff, you know, we'll put their position over. However, if folk aren't prepared to listen or accept that, it just creates a pile online, and it's not good at all. You know, I mean, social media has its place, but a lot of times it's a toxic environment across not just football, but across everything. And I can understand why clubs don't want to go public and how they vote on things or what goes on at their club for that reason.
I think it goes back to the fact with the fans, though. I think you know, we've discussed it before, but fans are due an explanation. I would probably make that point just on that. You know, I think there's some fans that come to us and other people that come to us a lot of the time, and we don't always have the answers for certain things. And I think this is where the club should be stepping in and saying, or at least explaining themselves to the fans. And I've always said, Thomas, no one owes us an explanation, but certainly I feel in some respects at some clubs that fans are a wee bit annoyed at certain clubs. I've heard mumblings of, you know, this club's not been run right. That's nothing really to do with the league. But yeah, I think transparency for positive, negative would go a long way in terms of building good communication and relationships with either a fan base or different leagues or people.
I guess, just back to the point about, you know, people not going online to do this, how do you know that clubs haven't done that through other methods to their members?
Well, in fairness, I don't think fans would be coming to us if they had done that, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, but there is a possibility that clubs have fed back
their
means other than coming out with a public statement as to why they've done things or how they've voted, which is possible.
But I think just, what we need is a forum, like a forum of, I don't know, some sort of reasonable, sort of for reasonable people, I guess, and not the pie and Bovril crowd, as I've called them, you know.
I think just on that point there, I think as we mentioned, obviously the internet and how people work and things like that, I think if the clubs had fed back to their fans, maybe by, I don't know, email or, I don't know, WhatsApp group, whatever they do privately, I think that would have came out in a wash by now, personally. As you say, the likes of Twitter, Facebook, Pie and Bravo, we'll mention it, we're getting it, plenty of plugs in for Pie and Bravo today, but these things are not slow to come out. Like, we knew about the vote, I think, fairly quickly on Monday night, and that was already on the internet quite fast, and just same with the vote before. So I think if something like that was to come out from a club, you'd have heard about it by now. So it tells me that they probably haven't at that point.
Yeah, possibly they haven't yet. But I think one thing that I hope I have made clear is that, you know, the Lowland League couldn't just go to 18 teams. I think it's quite important to make that point because there seems to be a lot of kind of stuff posted online about that, about clubs going, the Lowland League going to 18 teams. That's just not a possibility for this, for next season, with carrying 18 full member clubs. So it's, you know, it's wrong to say that we could just kick out guest clubs and not have guest clubs and bring in another two full member clubs, because that's not possible. I think the other thing people are aware of, we got criticised about the vote about automatic, about, sorry, increased relegation from the league. We were criticised that it was happening at the end of the season. Just again, just to make clear that changes to relegation, even if clubs voted for more relegation in the Lowland League, that wouldn't have come into place at the end of this season. That would only come into place at the end of next season. So I think just so that people are clear about that, and the reason for that is because the rules that determine how many clubs come up are already in place and can't be changed midway through a season. So it's just to make that point as well, because there seems to be a lot of kind of people kind of thinking that we could just increase, and it's just not possible to do that.
It's good to know these things, Thomas, but again, it goes back to this idea of maybe this is why misleading things happen, because I'm not saying the league has to come out with a statement every week or whatever, but you know, I think there's certain things, and it's not a dig at you or the league, because I think there's been an issue the whole time I've covered it, but if these certain sort of refutes from the league would happen, I don't think you would have a major issue of, you know, people being wrong about these certain things. Well, obviously you can't dispel rumours all the time, but certainly I think there has to be a bit more communication, and that's what I've always been a sort of pioneer for, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I think that's pretty much it from you, Thomas. Thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it. I know you're going to head off to a game tonight in the Lone League. So thanks for your time. Chris and I will just have a chat after this and round about the podcast. Yeah. But I'd say thanks again. We'll catch up with you soon.
Can I help you with just getting in touch? Happy to come on again and have a chat.
Cheers, Thomas. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, well, Chris, the big chat with Thomas is over. What's your initial thoughts?
Like I said, I don't think it really resolved too much for me. There's certain things that Thomas said that I feel a wee bit better about in terms of individual. Obviously, I made it clear that he can't speak for every club and every decision. He has his own opinions, like us. I guess I fundamentally disagree with the idea of that. I do believe there should be more transparency. I think it's one of the things that, for whatever reason, Thomas maybe doesn't see the value in it. I disagree with that entirely. I think a lot of the miscommunication, if you want to call it that, would be eradicated if the league were a wee bit more transparent and comes out. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying come out with a statement every week, but, you know, a wee bit on the webpage, right? You know, the catch-up are talking shite, or Ben's talking shit, or Chris is talking, you know, something like that. Yeah. Or even messaging us and saying, look, you're talking nonsense. I can delete the Twitter, I can delete whatever, you know what I mean? So, I'm happy to admit when we're wrong, and we've been wrong about, you know, a lot of stuff, and people bringing up tweets from about a year ago that don't even mean anything, you know, so...
I think that's a good segue to one of my points. I think, yes, we had a conversation last year with George Fraser, and I think we took George at face value because, well, I guess from our perspective is that Moz obviously involved at the club that George is at, and he knew him as a person well. I had never dealt with George, for example, so I didn't know anything about him until we chatted that night. And I think there's a lot of people pinning back to conversations that we've had, and like as if we've been naive or... Well, maybe we have, but I think the thing for me is that you're allowed to have a bad take on things. If we were to go through social media and some of the commentators we've had in the last couple of days about what we said back last year and called out their bad takes, I think we'd be here all day. I think that's the thing. I think you're allowed to have them. I mean, we're not doing this out of deliberately trying to be like stupid, I think. It's one of those ones that we've obviously seen it for what it is and listened to reason and thought, well, maybe this is a good thing. And yeah, maybe it wasn't going to be a one-year thing. But on the face of it, it was, because there had to be another vote, there had to be another rule change and all that kind of stuff. So I think for me, I think people just need to kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit. Like Thomas was saying earlier on, that everyone just goes for a pylon when something is said. And we'll have probably more bad takes. We'll probably have some other good takes, I think, as well. And that will always happen. And that's the nature of podcasting in general, and having an opinion, and believe it or not, some people do want to listen to what we're saying. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening to this episode today, or watching it on YouTube or whatever, to hear what Thomas has got to say, and why you can't listen to this podcast if you don't like what we're saying, because you want to hear what Thomas was saying. So I think for me, it's just one of those things that everyone's allowed them. We can give us this one if you want for a couple of days, but I mean, we'll be back. We're going to continue to cover all non-league in Scotland. That's the way we work, and also in the low leagues. But yeah, I think for me, it's just that thing is that just have a day off sometimes, people.
I think Thomas said it. You know, we've got a lot of stick about saying we were led down the garden path or whatever from the low league, because you know, it's over a year now. Thomas said it. Thomas said that the only, 3 weeks ago that he came to them and said, oh, we want to do this again. So it's like, and we're trying to claim that they, oh, I knew it, you know. It's just nonsense, eh? And I appreciate that it's a motive. It was a motive at the time. We obviously went through certain personal abuse, people square going us and whatever through the DMs. And, you know, it's like always curious about that. It's like, why would you get so angry over an opinion, eh? But it's one of those things. Look, it's we've talked to Thomas. I think some of what he said is reasonable. As I say, I'm not going to lie, I don't think a lot of it was resolved, and it's nothing to do with Thomas. It's just out of principle. We have our beliefs, he has his. I think if he had the final say, I think a lot of that would probably be similar. But, you know, what I don't want to see is abuse for Thomas, like we saw with George, because Thomas, you know, in fairness to George, you mentioned it about people at their word. I mean, what else can we do? If we didn't trust the word of the people, we wouldn't have them on their podcast. We want to listen to their opinions, want to evaluate their decisions or thinking. You know, it's what we do. It's what we do with players. It's what we do with managers. Why did you do this? Blah, blah, blah. It's part of being a podcast or a public sort of platform, if you will.
I think it's
so
also,
yeah, please, no personal abuse or anything like that, for the love of God.
I think it's important though to be balanced in a lot of these situations, is that we can have our own rants and raves about, well, we don't think it's right that there's no promotion or relegation, we don't think it's right that the cult teams are in perhaps, and people have that view, but there will be people out there that have the other view. Thomas obviously representing the league, and I think we mentioned that part about transparency. I think for me, that discussion gives a bit more of that transparency that we look for from the league as well, because we have that kind of 45-minute discussion and covering off a lot of the unanswered questions that maybe that we had. Obviously, we took some questions from people on Twitter as well. So I think that's an important thing. We're not here to change the world. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. But I think we're just trying to commentate, provide their opinions. As I said before, some people want to listen to opinions. If you don't, then I don't know why you're still here at this point in time. But if you are, then you don't have to listen. I mean, that's not the thing. But we'll always do our best to talk up the non-league football. And that's, I think, for me, the important part. But equally, if there's something that needs to be talked about in a negative manner, we'll do it. We're not scared to upset people or ruffle feathers if we have to. We all want what's best for the league. And if that means shining a spotlight on something that's not so good to make it better, then I'm all for that.
And it's not one thing we have to really say, because we got a bit of a stick when we talked to George, but it's not about shouting at people and like, oh, you're so wrong and you're a hypocrite and all this sort of stuff. I mean, you know, it's we can't blame Thomas entirely for what the clubs have decided. And it's people like, you know, someone said yesterday, obviously, you have to apologise to Tears Below for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did we have any say in the vote? Did we vote ourselves? No, we didn't. So, I mean, why is it on us? Like, fair enough, we put our opinions out there, but they're just that, they're opinions.
I think that's an important bit to highlight. It's not the board that made this decision. It's the member clubs themselves. And I think that's what, just to end the point of this episode, and it's what I would say to the member clubs is, we touched on it earlier, is if you want to come and chat to us on this podcast and maybe explain some reason why you voted for or against, either way, we're happy here. But we'd probably like to hear more for the people that voted for the Colt teams and probably against the relegation, certainly. But happy to chat to anyone who has that that view. And I think the thing for me is about firming it up and standing behind what you believe in. And if that's what you believe in, then fine. I'm not going to object to that as long as you give me good reason. Life is all about different opinions, and that's just part and parcel of society, and it's the same in football, fundamentally. And let's just, as you say, our DMs are always open, whether it's mine or Chris's or the catch-ups or Moz's, then drop us a DM. If you know one of us better than another, then just drop us a message and we'll have a conversation, and then we can maybe get around the table and have a conversation about how your club decide to vote either way.
Ben, I think we get really philosophical towards the end of the episodes, I've noticed.
No Moza here.
Yeah, it's weird. It's no Moza here to be logical about it, you know. But the way I see it is, some people believe that Suge Knight killed Tupac while he was in the Motor Army. So, I mean, what can you do with that in terms of opinions?
There you go. There's the hot take for the end of the episode. But, it's been a good episode, and hopefully you all found that informative enough. As I say, we're not expecting you to change your mind, certainly, but if it helps you inform why these things were done, then that's obviously a good thing. I'm sure we'll see some quotes in the media at some point from the episode, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to that. It's always a good one to see when the mainstream media take your quotes out of your podcast episode. So let's look forward to that. But
they quoted us last time properly, which was good. So hopefully,
I'm sure we'll see. I'm sure it'll be there. I'm sure someone will be waiting patiently for the interview to come out. But I guess just to end the episode, then, Chris, where can we find everyone from? If you're not already.
Well, since he's not here, we'll talk up Moza, the shite baggy. I think he's sorry guys, I'm running late tonight, sort of stuff. So he's at Moza Plays or at Moza on Twitter, I think. At Official Catch Up for Twitter for us, Lowland League Catch Up on Facebook, and for myself at Rampant FM, who I just talk about Spurs, to be honest. So it's all football for me, nothing really, anything else. So, and yourself, Ben?
Yeah, at Mr. Ben Grant on Twitter. Shout out to Kilburnie, who have unblocked me on Twitter recently, so that was nice to see. But I don't have many haters. I'm a new guy up on Twitter. I keep saying this. I'm a new man. I'm not causing beef on Twitter.
You're getting softer, I think, mate.
That's what it is. Just turned 33 the other week there, so I'm mellowing with age. And I'm to be honest, do you know what it is? I can't be arsed half the time with it. There is no reason sometimes with people, and I'll just save it for these episodes of the podcast. If you really want to hear what I'm saying, then come on the pod or come and listen to the podcast. But that's another episode of the Official Catch-Up with myself, Ben, and Chris. We'll be back probably again fairly soon as we kind of head into the end of the leagues across the different tiers, and we'll catch up and just see where things are at. But thanks again, and we'll catch you all soon. Cheers.